Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by His Spirit. And it's a blessing. I thank God for everyone who has it in their heart to obey Him, to look to Him. Those who present themselves a living sacrifice. That means they're ready and willing to do whatever the Lord give them to do with dedication. See, that makes the difference. When you dedicate yourself to obey His will, His word, when you're not reluctant, but you yield to Him, it gives the Holy Spirit something to work with. And that's always a primary blessing. Now, we have many opportunities every day to submit our lives to the Lord. And I thank Him for every opportunity, for everything that He does, all the wisdom He gives to be a blessing to people. And like in the last broadcast, I said that He uses everybody all over the earth in real time to solve problems, to be a blessing to others, to help us grow. And we work together. Remember, it's one body, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. But we only see parts. But Jesus is at work all over the earth. He's the head of the church. And he governs the body by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is sent to help us do the Father's will. And remember, if He called you to the ministry, He has a plan for you to perform. And it's a blessing, it's a golden opportunity every day. And the Lord is, I get amazed at how He works. Now, like I said in the last broadcast, the more we yield to the Holy Spirit, the more we see Him, the more we trust Him and yield and obey what He says do, the more we receive. And we see, it's the easier it is to follow through with His guidance. And people, that the challenges that face us, the Lord will give you wisdom every single time. But first, you have to seek Him. You have to, the more we look to Him, the more we can see how His wisdom will help us overcome. You get used to winning. You'll see things as they occur. You know, you become spiritually aware of things because the Holy Spirit can warn you, guide you, and help you overcome the problems that are real. But when He gives you wisdom to overcome it, there's a confidence that comes, a peace. Always follow the peace. And the life of God is so beautiful. All the challenging thoughts and opinions of others, you overcome it by the love of God. You operate in the Word of God, they operate by the ways, the rudiments of the world. They measure things by worldly standards. But you assess things with heavenly wisdom, with the wisdom of God, and the love of God, and the holiness of God, in the truth of God's Word. And you expose things. Sometimes people need their sin exposed, and then they can see how to come out. They'll see the beauty in what you're doing. Now, when you love people that don't love you, people get aggravated with that because they feel they want justice. But God, if God gave us justice, He'd just destroy the whole earth. He didn't do that. He gave us mercy so that we could grow and be forgiven, and Jesus made it justice. Jesus made the mercy of God justice. His blood washed away our sins. He took our punishment. He took what we deserved and gave us life. And the life of God we now enjoy. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. He did. It was given to us as a grace, a gift. And now, we're in the kingdom of God forever. Forever. And ever. So all the things that go wrong, the Lord has provided us with His wisdom to conquer it and overcome anyway. You know, when Paul went to jail, Satan thought he had him locked up and he couldn't preach anymore. He wrote letters. There is always a way to get the job done. See, Satan always looks for things to be pristine and proper or it won't work. And men think the same way. But you're not limited at all. See, Satan didn't know he was writing to billions of people. Satan didn't know that letter would reach billions and billions and billions of people in every generation for 2,000 years. He thought that he was going to extinguish the word of God by putting Paul in jail and harassing the apostles and spreading the doctrines of, you know, of false religion, and the Jews ignored God and didn't know him, and he spread that doctrine. Then he came up with the Muslim religion and spread that doctrine, and the word of God is still being preached and people are still being saved by the millions, because the Holy Spirit is mightily moving. The Lord told me in the early 90s that the day was coming when 1,000 people would get saved every hour. Now that means millions of people, because every hour 1,000 people are getting saved around the planet. There's 24 hours in a day. So once it started, 1,000 people, that's a lot of people. Now, I didn't do the calculation, but and I knew that such a revival would come. Now, this revival is not like the kind that men are used to when they see thousands of people fill up a football stadium and everybody gets saved, and a lot of them stay saved, and then things ease back to normal. But this revival is a revival of the heart. People are starting to look to the Lord now. And you can't tell this revival. It's different. By the time you see the effects of it, we'll probably be raptured out. But it's a might in heaven, you'll see the whole thing from God's point of view. But I know what the Lord has told me, and I know what He's been doing, because He's been talking. And He loves us. And I am highly motivated right now to do all that's in His heart. I've been confessing that I'll do all that's in His heart, because if I present myself a living sacrifice, God will take that sacrifice and multiply my efforts. Now, when it comes to your problem, never focus on the problem. It's the focus that Satan is after. See, the way you kill a snake, you cut his head off. You can cut him in half, he can grow another body. That won't kill him. But if you cut his head off, he dies. If you cut his tail off, he gets away. He can still slither away. The enemy tries to change our focus, because when he changes your focus, he changes everything with it. If he can get the pastor to look at the people, see, fear looks to man. If you start looking to man, you're always going to get in pride. You get in fear, you're tempted to get in pride, you're tempted to be in fear. If you get in pride, you will be in fear. And if you get in fear, you're probably going to be in pride too, because they work together, just like love and faith. If you stay in the love of God, your faith works. Faith works by love. And if you I've never learned as much as I do when I love people. The more you love people, the more you can learn from the Lord. So when people are aggravating, you love them. And by the love of God, you're going to win. You can even get them to change their opinions, because you'll expose their opinions for what they are in real time. And they'll either... this is what happens when that work, when you live the life of God and according to His wisdom. Hopefully they'll soften their heart and start growing. But if they love the world too much, they're gonna rebel. And your love, they'll rebel against you even more because they've hardened their heart. And it won't even make sense. And if they don't stop, the Lord will divide them out of your life. They'll have a mind to leave, and they won't even know why. And don't be afraid if that has to happen. Stay with the wisdom of God, and you'll be fine. God don't change people's wills. That's up to them. He present them with life, and they do with it what they want to. Jesus gave us salvation, and we do what we want to with it. But there are consequences. If you learn God's word and hold the truth in unrighteousness, you're going to be judged. If you ignore the principles of God and your life don't turn out right, you're going to reap what you've sown. But if you use the principles of God and build your life, it can't be torn down. And if you trust God, He'll guide you into all truth as you trust Him. See, if you trust Him, you'll use your faith in the direction of trust. See, you can use your faith either way you want to. You can take God at His word and receive something that He didn't give you. Just like when Israel wanted a king. That was a time I had goals and purposes that I wanted to fulfill that I was praying over. And then I wanted to buy a car. And the Lord showed me, you know, you can believe me for this car and get the car and attain the car, but it's going to hinder the other things you're trying to do. Because it's not the season to buy a car. Because faith without works is dead. I was going to have to pay for that car. And I know I've heard testimonies where people were in the ministry and the Lord called somebody to give them a car or bless them with a car or a house or money or whatever. I've been listening to those testimonies, and every time the Lord gave somebody a car or a house, and the Lord did it, not parents giving their children cars, I'm talking about the Lord told somebody to give somebody a new car or a good car or a house or money, they were in the ministry working as under God for a long time. They were always obedient people. I never heard what somebody just... The Lord told somebody to get them a car, and they wasn't doing anything for God. Now, if that existed, I didn't hear it. But every time I heard somebody gave a pastor a church or a car or a house, I know a pastor, they gave him a church and a house. But he was laboring in the ministry for years. So, where God guides, He provides. And if you've been doing the work, you got spiritual wealth on your life and God will bless you. But I was just starting out. I had just gotten saved a few years earlier. And the Lord said, He just showed me that if you buy a car now, it's going to hinder your other purposes. And the car I had was in good shape. I had already built the engine in it. It was a good car. It lasted for years. I gave it away. It was still running. Years after that, I started my business with that car. That car was a blessing. I drove until I put me a truck together. And then I gave it to a friend. Now, but the Lord will bless you. You can use your faith in the direction of trust, or you can use it at the direction of your own will. But if you take the Lord at His word, and you use your faith in the direction of trust, you're going to do greater things. Now, when there are problems that challenge you, obstacles in your path, you don't see the way around it. Ask the Lord how to deal with it. And do the plan that He give you by your faith. See, the just shall live by his faith. Now, it didn't say the just shall live by his trust, because trust is a noun. It's a thing. You trust God. You're relying on the Lord. You're not working. When you're in faith, you're working. Because faith works by love and love without faith without works is dead. Now trust isn't, it's another form of faith. It's the noun side of faith. Trust is reliance, where faith is a definer. Faith is action. You speak, you work, and you're blessed. The way to attain all the true and precious promises is by your faith. The just shall live by his faith. But when you trust God, you use your faith in that direction. So when you're challenged and people are being contrary, you love them anyway. You overcome. You expose their, whatever their mindset is, you expose it for what it is by doing and living and speaking the word of God. When it's a congregation, you teach the word. There are varied opinions in every local body of Christ. Because people were groomed a certain way. They were taught a certain way. They had different parents. Some had married parents. Some had divorced parents. Some had one parent. Some were orphans. So their opinions are shaped by whoever raised them and whatever neighborhood they grew up in. And the children that they were around, and the teachers they had. It's not reasonable to think that everybody's going to think the same thing. Everybody got their own spin on what they believe. But as long as they believe that Jesus' blood washed away their sin, they're in the kingdom of God if they apply it. And from there, you can't worry about what they think and their opinions. You preach the word of God. And you're presenting them with the logic of the word of God. And it will expose them for what they are. You will expose them. If they love God, they'll be exposed for loving God to themselves. See, when people hear the truth of God's word, they're in a position where they have to make a decision. Am I going to keep believing what I used to believe? Or am I going to... I see more light, so am I going to yield to the light or stubbornly keep my own methods? And it's good to put people in that position. Jesus said, let your light therefore shine. And it's not reasonable to take the light and hide it. Let it shine. It does what it does. But when people hide the light, why would they hide the light? Why would they reluctantly hide the light? Who are they trying to serve? See, if you represent God right, they have a better chance of getting out of this world alive. They have a better chance of success. They have a better chance at conquering their emotions. They have a better chance at living by wisdom. All these things exist, and it's there to help us. But if you hide the light, then they have no chance. They'll be trapped in their own opinions and their own thoughts and methods that produce failure or limited forms of success. But every time we take God at his word and speak his word and do his word openly, we're living the light. We're preserving everything around us. Remember, the life of God is very powerful. It's more powerful than we give it credit for. As wicked as Sodom and Gomorrah were, now that's two cities. If 10 men would have been in that location, two or three in one city, two or three in the other city, four or five in the other cities, 10 men could have, if God only had 10 men, he would have spared the city because their sin would have been exposed and people would not have gotten to the point that they got to. The Lord could have arrested the sin problem, and it wouldn't have been a threat to the covenant. See, God made a covenant with Abraham, and in order for that covenant to work, he had to kill those tribes, those nations. The enemy was setting up camp there, and he was going to spread the sin of homosexuality all over the world and neutralize everything, sterilize, make the progress of God become sterile. Because, that's how the enemy works. And Abraham was interceding for these cities. Lord, what if that was 50 righteous there? All the way down to 10. Lord said he wouldn't destroy it for 10. Only three people survived that city. Lot and his two daughters. His wife looked back and died. So it's important to follow the Lord. His wisdom is better than ours. He evaluates situations with perfect wisdom. He assesses everything. And you know, people say God works in mysterious ways. That's because he, on his end, he's looking at everything. And so when he give you a thought, when he give you a direction, if you dig in with trust, if you can trust him on it, you're going to win. Big time. We're going to trust something. If we trust our own ways, there's a lot of things we're just not going to get to learn. But if we can take him at his word and trust him, look to him during the whole situation. Every challenge, look to the Lord. Don't stop. Don't quit looking at him. People are aggravating you. Look at him. That's just a distraction. Now you see him. I'm not saying don't ignore him totally. I'm just saying don't let that become your focus, what they're doing, their unfair ways. Don't let it be a distraction against you. But look to the Lord, and he'll give you wisdom, and that will be healing. And you're going to love it. The wisdom of God is totally for you. And you're going to win. Trust in him. There's nothing you can't do as you seek the Lord your God and King. Now, the Lord's return is very soon. And he's faithful. He's coming back. He's going to be it's just going to be a blessing. And you're going to learn more and more things as you take him at his word. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus is our Lord.